It's time for Around the Yard with your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone!
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Grant McCauley joining us to talk some Braves baseball. This road trip continues. And last night I said, Grant, does Martin Perez deserve some grace after last night's performance, as good as he's been?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. And you kind of start to deconstruct that inning. And yes, he made it worse with a couple of early walks. But then some of the hits he gave up, it's not exactly like he was just getting rocked all over the ballpark. And he did what Martin Perez usually does. If he does run into some trouble, he manages to pitch some good innings after that. So it just kind of felt like he got himself into trouble, kind of had the tightrope to walk and got a little bit wobbly. And then obviously, and I know we'll talk about it, the offense really didn't pick him up.
Yeah, leaving guys on base, and unfortunately just – I didn't like the way they were approaching the at-bats later when they got to the bullpen, too. Like, one, two, three strikes, you're out. You know, it just seemed like they weren't making the pitchers work.
No, they're not, and that's kind of an interesting thing that you bring up, and I did go in-depth on this on From the Diamond because I think we might have noticed, and we didn't get to talk about it, but certainly a lot of Braves fans were curious about going 108 plate appearances without a walk. That seems a little bit extreme, even for a team that's out there hunting pitches early in counts, and – that's what the Braves did through the weekend against Arizona until Matt Olson was intentionally walked in Sunday's game. So I went back and looked and tried to figure out, okay, what is it the Braves are doing early in counts? And the answer is they do a lot of damage early in counts. They hit basically 350, over 340 anyway, on first pitches with a ton of home runs, the most home runs in any single count. And then if you look at 0-1 and 1-0, they're also very aggressive there and do a lot of damage. So early in counts is kind of the Braves' hallmark. And if you look at walks on the whole for the entirety of Major League Baseball, the Braves are 28th in walks this year. So this is kind of who they are. And it's, you know, maybe the best version of it is to get a little bit more there, and it helps you out in the run column. But the Braves have been a top five, top six team in runs scored in Major League Baseball. They are, again, right there this year, and they're right there with the Dodgers and Brewers in terms of overall runs. So there may be some different, maybe unorthodox ways of doing it, but what they have done works, except I guess when it doesn't.
Grant, what's the eventual hope for A.J. Smith-Shawver in regards to where the Braves would like to have him be in this starting rotation? What do we need to see tomorrow?
Yeah, I think you just need to see him continue to do what he's been doing, which has been throwing a lot of strikes, working, I think, pretty efficiently. There haven't been a lot of walks in his minor league time. As I mentioned, he was named International League Pitcher of the Week, for what that's worth. So clearly what he was doing down in Gwinnett was drawing some attention outside of the Braves organization. And he has thrown, I believe it's three really good starts there in a row, in addition to working into the fifth inning in that doubleheader game against the Mets. So I honestly would just tell you, the simple approach that he's been utilizing, don't really change anything. Just continue to do what you've been doing, hammer the strike zone, and I think he's going to find the results because that stuff plays up. The fastball's in the upper 90s. He's got great breaking stuff, and he can change speeds pretty well. So if he continues to do that and limits the free passes, I think A.J. Smith-Shawver has a chance to really help the Braves out in rotation in a number of different ways, and the first of which is by coming back up and pitching in tomorrow's game. The Braves were able to completely realign their rotation so that Chris Sale will not only start against Milwaukee, but he will also start against the Dodgers in the upcoming series at Truist Park.
Kinley gets DFA'd. Was I too hard on him, or just as a victim of circumstance with some of those blown opportunities?
Yeah, in the words of, who was it, Curly from the Three Stooges, he was a victim of circumstance in a lot of ways, but it did feel like things in the later innings did get a little bit hairy, a little bit slapstick, if you will, with regards to how hard he was getting hit this year. I went in and kind of had looked at the numbers, and his slider was 99th percentile last year in terms of just overall value for that pitch. And it was not that pitch this year. It was, you know, just kind of a mediocre slider. He gave up a lot of home runs on it, 7 of the 9 that he allowed this year, and 9 homers by a relief pitcher who's thrown essentially 40-ish innings. That's a lot of home runs. It's hard to work around that. He just wasn't quite the same guy. He also lost 1 mile an hour on the fastball. Maybe that was a factor for being even more slider reliant, but just not getting, I think, the overall quality innings that you needed to get out of him. And at this point, I think the Braves recognize that there may be some ways, and I don't want to speak for them in terms of their overall, you know, ultimate decision, but whether it's Ronaldo Lopez coming off the IL or eventually Grant Holmes maybe sliding into a relief role, there are at least other options and other conversations to be had. And unfortunately for Tyler Kinley, as good as he was over that first month or 6 weeks, he really just wasn't the same guy throughout the dog days of summer.
Tyler Mahle, I mean, he's been an innings eater, right? And is that what we can expect? Is that the expectation now?
I mean, it's been that and more, though. I mean, you look at these first couple of starts, he's allowed 1 run on a solo homer. handful of hits, two walks, and what is it, 16 strikeouts in his first two starts. I mean, it's some really impressive stuff, and he has been a strikeout pitcher in the past. He's eclipsed 200 in his career before. It's just been a while, but this is a guy that I think the Braves just felt like it was a buy-low candidate that they could improve upon, and thus far, if you want to credit either what he was doing with San Francisco over the final 6 weeks or what he's been able to maybe uncover with the Braves, this is a guy that I think has that middle-of-the-rotation starter upside, and that's what the Braves were hoping for. He wasn't going to be the front of the rotation ace to go along with Chris Sale, but you also are not going to look that gift horse in the mouth. If he's going to give you performances like this, you'll certainly take him, and it has certainly helped stabilize this rotation. Now you look at adding an AJ Smith-Shawver into the mix, and again, whatever they want to do with Grant Holmes and Ronaldo Lopez, they'll need to kind of sort that whole thing out, but at least you're feeling like you've got some quality layers of depth, and Tyler Mahle has been a nice get for the Braves at a relatively low cost. If you care about that kind of thing, which I don't think most people do, there was not much that was involved in the acquisition fee to get Tyler Mahle, and he has made an immediate impact on the starting rotation in the past 2 weeks.
I saw the Rays getting a bounce from a former Brave the other night. It was pretty interesting to see. You know, again, I know you got some roster issues, and Kim is still under contract. He's not going anywhere, but Mateo, if you didn't see, goes yard down there at the old Trop. And I saw Jarvis and Dubon. Dubon was in left, but they went a combined 0-for-6. So what is shortstop right now?
Yeah, that's a good question. And this is another big point of emphasis, I think, down the stretch for the Braves is to sort that out. And I tried to kind of make sense of the moving parts and kind of the carousel from left field to shortstop to DH, because those all feel like they're connected, right? Because you got Mauricio in left field, but you went and got Lane Thomas. Would it not be good to maybe get Lane Thomas some of those at-bats and utilize him a little bit more? I know he's brought in specifically because he's great against lefties, but he's a power bat that could, I think, help out along with Mike Yastrzemski and kind of solve the left field thing and then free you up to use Mauricio Dubon at shortstop. Because as much as Jim Jarvis was and is a solid defensive shortstop for the most part, offensively, the bloom has been off this rose for a minute here in the month of August. And if everything else is clicking in your lineup, you can afford that. But not everything is clicking in the Braves lineup right now, which I think is kind of why we see Ha-Seong Kim, and for lack of a better term, kind of like a purgatory, because I'm also looking at this just trying to be pragmatic about it. And you are paying this guy $20 million. He started one game since he came back 2 weeks ago. Is that really all you think of him? Because if that's the case, other than the $20 million, I guess my question is, what is the point? And that kind of brings us to Mateo getting squeezed out. It's not like he was a world beater either. He had a couple of nice months and, nice weeks, and I think back in May, but it really quieted down. He's a 220 career hitter with about a 620 career OPS. I mean, he kind of is who he is. He's given the Rays a little bit of a jolt. Maybe he'll catch lightning in a bottle there, and they'll have a little bit of a bump from him, like you said, but he still hasn't gotten a ton of playing time down there in the last couple of weeks either. He's just kind of a role player. I don't think he was going to solve the shortstop question, and I think that the Braves really kind of can look at, all right, if the playoffs start tomorrow, Mauricio Dubon is your starting shortstop, I believe. That means left field is handled between Mike Yastrzemski and Lane Thomas. DH, is that a spot where you could start to get Lane some more at-bats if that's what you need to do? Maybe you can get Sean Murphy some more at-bats behind the plate and let Drake DH some more, because the DH spot, in addition to shortstop, are areas you're not getting the most production from.
When's the last time the Braves played an afternoon game, night game?
I would say sometime in the 1950s, maybe the 60s, if they played a long series at Wrigley Field and then maybe went to St. Louis or something. I don't know. It's uncommon, but that's kind of what this road trip is, right? It's three games against the Twins, and of course you get a rain delay to start with, which scares you about having to play a doubleheader. And then you got to make up the game against the White Sox. And then you go to Milwaukee, but not just Milwaukee. You also got to go to Williamsport. So this is going to be a very bizarre 6 days ahead for the Braves before they get that off day. And their prize for coming home is three games against the LA Dodgers. So it is very much the Braves are in the teeth of a very, very tough part of their schedule.
And Grant, not to get ahead of ourselves, but that's what we do at Sports Talk Radio. we were looking at if season ended right now, we'd play the Phillies in the dreaded 2 out of 3, because we'd be the third seed in the – I mean, to go nearly wire-to-wire in the division and then be settled in 2 out of 3 just doesn't seem right.
No, it doesn't. But unfortunately for Major League Baseball's expanded playoff, with three divisions, one of them was going to be the odd man out. Now, at some point, you talk about realignment into four divisions per league and maybe less emphasis on the wild card, and maybe the division winners are out and there's two wild cards and you still get 12 playoff teams and – I don't know. I mean, you get that revenue that you're looking for. It's just such an imperfect system, but it does really underscore in bold red, and then you can highlight it as well in whatever color you want. Three games against the Brewers, three games against the Dodgers. If you want to really make an impact on what your fate is regarding the wild card and not having to play in that 2 out of 3, winning those series is pretty high on the list of priorities, which is why I think you saw this rotation get shuffled now to create Chris Sale an opportunity to throw in both of those.
All right, brother. Great stuff. I am just like trying to, figure out a lot of the things we're talking about with this team, and I guess over the next month or so we'll get a chance to figure them out, especially with this pitching staff. I'm curious to see what Shaver has, man. I really am.
Yeah, I'm excited about that, and as the saying goes, only time will tell.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, good stuff, Grant. We appreciate you, man. We'll talk tomorrow.
Thanks, guys. Look forward to it.
All right, guys.
I was watching a game last night, and it was like there's no action.